Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 13th, 2021, and we are reading in the Big Book on page 152, the third paragraph down. Today's readers are Patty D. reading the 12 steps, Joanne L. reading the 12 traditions. Reading the text are Lois P., Shelley E., and Betsy H. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning, Sunday special edition reference number is 18,226 or 18226. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, the reference number is 18,229 or 18229. Our newcomer greeter today is Diane B., and making announcements is Robin P. Welcome to everyone. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty D. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Patty.
Thanks, Kathy. Hi, this is Patty D. I'm a compulsive overeater in Algoma, Wisconsin. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admit it, we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as of the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Patty D. And Joanne L., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
My pleasure, Kathy K. Thank you for your service. Good morning, world, and good morning to everybody. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. I think I said that twice. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media or communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 152, the third paragraph down, and I will ask Lois P. to get us started. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. How is that to come about, you ask? Where am I to find these people? You're going to meet these new friends in your own community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly, like people in a sinking ship. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds. High and low, rich and poor, these are future fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together, and you will commence, shoulder to shoulder, your common journey. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself, that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the core healing medicine for me that I have found in these rooms, particularly in A Vision for You meetings, and that's the sense of beautiful community. You know, growing up, I don't know about other people, but for myself, even as an adult, as a professional, as a wife, as a mother, there was always a part of myself I couldn't really share with others because I was driven, you know, with this obsession to eat, no matter where I was. And I was heavy and got heavier and heavier. And so even though I had, you know, a work life, a social life with family, there was always a deep part of me that was hidden. That was my own little dark place I could not share, and I was embarrassed to share with anyone. And the great joy of being in this program and on this meeting every day is the joy of knowing that I am with my true family. I am with my community of people, of my tribe, people who understand that part of myself that always ran and wanted shelter using food as that fake artificial substance, trying to find protection there. And in this community, I have found the spirit of God. I have found selfless service. I see beautiful people who some I've never even seen that have become my lifelong friends and protectors. And I, in turn, now, through the grace of God, one day at a time, am able to reach out as others have reached out to me. I can reach out now a hand to those who are still in that dark place, in that isolated place within yourself. Just knowing that there is light, there is life, there is joy, there is a whole new life. Once we reach out and say, yes, I want to change, I want to find where I truly belong, this is it. This is home. This is home base for all of us who know what I'm talking about. And the sense of community is available. All we have to do is plug in to the meetings, pick up the phone, and just reach out. And your whole life can change, as mine has. So thank you so much for everyone on the line. And Kathy, thank you so much for moderating. And God bless all of the people who make this gorgeous, beautiful meeting possible for all of us. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lois T., for getting us started today. Really appreciate your share. I'm going to now take names of people who would like to share, and I wanted to remind everyone that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So with that in mind, who would like to share today?
Marcia.
Laura W.
Okay, I heard Marcia and Laura W.
Sarah B.
Larry G.
Sarah B.
Larry G.
Larry G. Anyone else?
Elena C.
Elena C.
Diane B.
Diane B. Okay, why don't we stop there? So I have Marcia, and if you can give us your initial of your last name when you share, that would be great. Laura W., Sarah B., Larry G., Elena C., and Diana B. Okay, Marcia, please get us started.
Okay, good morning, OA family. This is Marcia D., recovered in Ohio. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Marcia. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for the meeting. I really like this group. I don't get to get on the 10 o'clock very early. This reading is so rich. What I really like about it is just we do understand each other in ways that no one else can because we have been through the wreckage together and have come up and out and continue to support each other. And so many experiences of this, but just this morning I felt led to call a fellow, and it just happened to be perfect timing in her life because of something that was going on with her, and I just knew it was God's handiwork, you know, that there's that instant understanding and that ability to be of help in the moment, and, you know, I couldn't orchestrate this stuff if I tried, but higher power can and does every day, and my job is to just continue to do the action to be able to be open and able to be of help, to be of service. So it's just amazing, and I'm really drawing strength from that. So it's a good reading. It also just, it's the truth is, I feel closer to a lot of you and I haven't even gotten to see many of you in person, than I do some of my closest family members, because there is that deep gut level understanding, and there's also that need to do the work. You know, sometimes family doesn't feel the need to do the work. But at any rate, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Marcia D. Laura W., please share with us.
Thanks, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, there's so many promises in this program, and this paragraph is just another promise. You know, you're going to meet these new friends in your own community. I didn't come into OA looking for friends. I came in because I was dying, and I came in because I had no, you know, I've exhausted all the other options. But what I found is a true group of friends, and with my sponsor, with my sponsees, with my fellows on the line, people that I have never even met face-to-face that I can call and do a 10th step with and say, oh my gosh, I'm full of fear, and they understand and they get me. You know, we have a common solution. This paragraph reminds me of that. And I love the reference of the sinking ships and the lifeboats, because, you know, it talks about how we're dying helplessly. And if you live in large places, there are hundreds, it says. Well, now, today, in 2021, there's thousands. And, you know, I'm bound to these people. I'm bound to you with a new and wonderful tie. We are escaping disaster together, one day at a time. These steps, you know, the steps is what pulls us out. It pulls us out of that quicksand. And these steps need to be felt and experienced, not just thought of in my mind. I need to work them, and I need to feel them deeply in my heart. And as I do that, I'm able to get out of my selfish self and love thy neighbor as myself. You know, like, there's no more four horsemen on my back anymore at this point in a vision for you. You know, it's just walking shoulder to shoulder. I'm not unique. I'm not special. I'm just another sick person trying to get well, no matter how many days, months, years I'm recovered. So I'm just grateful that I'm not alone in this, because in the disease, I felt so alone and so hopeless, and I'm not hopeless. And the last thing I want to say is that in the For Today book, it says that people so deep in the clutches of compulsive illness can recover is truly evidence of amazing grace. And there's no more evidence than my higher power working in my life than me being alive and healthy on this line this morning. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Sarah B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Sarah B. Basically new. I'm a compulsive overeater in Michigan. I'm on day nine of my abstinence and working with a vision sponsor. I haven't shared in this meeting before, although I introduced myself a few weeks ago or last week. But I felt compelled to share just because of how my life has changed in the last week so much by this connecting with fellows, by the calls that I received, by the sudden flood of connection. I've been in OA before, but I had never really fully gotten this fellowship part. And all of a sudden, just this week, I'm in a whole new world. And it's not just about connection. It's like this spiritual acceleration too, because when you can talk about things and talk about how to handle them and give them to God and whatever, everything moves faster. When something is like alone in a conversation, it seems to calcify or something and stay there. And I'm just noticing this massive acceleration of growth in myself just from talking to so many people. I mean, I just never dreamed I could talk to so many people. And about a solution, I love this phrase, escaping disaster together. I never really felt there was a solution before. And I think I've heard forever that isolation breeds addiction. And I knew that in my head. And I don't think of myself as isolated, but man, I feel like this week, due to all the calls and conversations, that isolation is really breaking. It's like busted open, like that isolation I didn't even know was there. You know, things I take for granted about that I have to be alone with, just so many things. And it seems like every single thing, that problem or issue that's come up in the last week, it's like vanished or moved or evolved to the next level so quickly, simply out of being able to be in conversation with so many people who are moving in kind of an exciting new direction of escaping disaster together. So I'm just really grateful to have found this fellowship, and thank you so much for welcoming me here, everyone. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah B. Larry G., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy, for your service. And what a great share to kick this meeting off. Oh, my gosh. I found a home here in Vision. I found a home. I found a group of people that think the way I think about food, that ate the way I ate around food, and are now seeking a solution based on the concept in the Big Book. I always wanted this in my face-to-face meetings in where I live and through the OA Fellowship, but it was based on other literature. And I would talk about the Big Book, and I felt like I was alone when I did that. And obviously, I was not bringing the solution. I was part of the problem because I was in constant relapse. But when I came to this meeting in May of 2020, you could have told me that I was going to find fellowship here, friendship, get to know people. My sponsor, for example, I've never met my sponsor. My sponsor lives across the country. I live on one side of the country. My sponsor lives on the other. But I'll tell you, I feel as close to my sponsor as I do any sponsor that I've had where I've met face-to-face. And Vision for You, I love the fact that we model our fellowship after the first 100 Alcoholics Anonymous, and we follow the tradition of the first 100. And what I mean by that is, you know, we take people to the steps. I was taken to the steps as quickly as possible. Why? To commence working with others. Prior to Vision, I would see that commencing working with Larry, that your job is to work with Larry. Now it's the other way around, and it's the best part of my day. It's the best part of my life. It's calling the compulsive eater who still suffers and reaching out to commence working with others. I'm in a marriage. This is my second marriage. My wife is in a program. My wife is in Al-Anon. My wife is in AA. And we're surrounded with people in the program, some of my closest friends. I have one friend I can tell you right now that is a very close friend of mine. That's a Normie. The rest are in program. I feel like I'm in a perfect place in my life. And I'll end by saying this: Vision inspired me to seek fellowships in other 12-step programs I'm in that ask something from me. I think in Visions, there's a lot asked from me. And it's a level of accountability that I've never had before, which I need. And I've now found that in two other programs I'm in, with two other fellowships. And I got to tell you, it just has raised my recovery to a level that I've never experienced before. Anyway, those of you on the call who are new or coming back, you think that you can't find intimacy on a phone call, just stick around. Build a tribe. Reach out. We're in partnership with each other. When I call somebody, they're going to pick the phone up because they know when they call somebody, they want someone to pick a phone up. And so we're here for each other. And just stick around and give it a try, because I have found great intimacy on this phone line. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. Elena C., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Elena C. from Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Greenville, South Carolina. So these paragraphs are reminding me about what I learned about addiction, that it's stopping whatever the drug of choice is, it's not enough. But the ultimate healing of addiction is connection. And what I mean by that is connection with my higher power. Because when I was disconnected from my higher power, when I was disconnected from people, I was disconnected from myself. in my isolation, I was totally disconnected with myself. There were parts of me that were not integrated. I was at war with myself. And then I was also at war with the world. Now, mind you, I'm an extrovert. Yeah, because of whatever burdens I've been carrying due to my addiction, and as an adult child of an alcoholic, I went about to engage in relationships the wrong way. It was my way or the highway, you know. So, and if you were doing something to me that I didn't approve of, then you would know. And, you know, so what I'm grateful about this program, and by the way, the second paragraph that we read is full of promises. This big book is full of promises. And the second paragraph is because we see how alcoholics, well, how I was dying helplessly, like people in a sinking ship. Yet when I stepped in here, got a sponsor, and start working on the steps of recovery, and now carrying the message to others and living in a 10 and 11 step, I have a community. Through this community of people, through this connection, a spiritual awakening that was given to me as a result of my working on the steps, I am now connected with myself in a way that I've never been. I'm not at war on myself. I'm not as critical of myself. I'm more accepting for who I am. I'm more compassionate towards myself, as my higher power is compassionate towards me. My higher power, my understanding, is not the one based on fear. It's the one based on compassion, acceptance, courage, confidence, you know, care, love, and nurturing, which is how he or she treats me. That's how I treat myself. And as a result, that's how I treat the world for the most part. And when I'm not in that place, I know now when I'm not in that place, I'm more self-aware. And so I can do a 10th step and reach out to my God squad. And I'm very grateful for that. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Elena C. And Diane B., please share with us.
Good morning, family. This is Diane B. from New Rochelle, New York, gratefully recovered compulsive eater. And basically, I just want to say ditto to everything I've already heard. These paragraphs are quite amazing. I have made so many friends over the years in OA. Some of them I continue to be friends with. Some people have left or I've left them, whatever. And I even met my late husband here. And I wasn't looking for a husband, but there he was. And that worked out really well. But, you know, these are people that I can talk to about anything, without being judged, without being poo-pooed, without being told, oh, it's okay, it'll all work out in the end. You know, these are people who I can talk to about everything. And, you know, I grew up being told that I should be ashamed of myself and that, you know, whatever I did, that it was shameful. And I always was hiding and I was always keeping secrets and I wouldn't tell anybody what was really going on with me because I was very ashamed because I was told to be. Now I can call people that I know, people that I don't know. I can just call them up and ask for their experience, strength, and hope. I can talk to them about whatever's on my mind. I can give a 10th step. I can take a 10th step. You know, it's like, and I can speak freely, and I'm no longer hiding, and I am, you know, no longer feeling ashamed of myself because now I have a program that helps me to live in a much more healthy way without using the food to self-medicate. You know, that's really a miracle for me because, you know, like we've just heard, that there are people that I talk to that I've never met in person. My sponsor, I never met her in person until the last convention in Newark, and then we met face-to-face, which was an amazing experience. You know, but it doesn't really matter where we live. It doesn't matter what our age, what our status in life is. Nothing like that matters because we have this common bond of the compulsive eating and everything that goes with it. One of the things that my sponsor had me do and that I now, when I guide people through the steps, is I had to call people and ask them specific questions. And I thought, are you kidding me? I have to do this? But you know what? I did it, and it really, really helped me to connect with other people who were in recovery. It helped me to build up my God squad, and this is what I tell the people that I guide. This is why that they need that. Why I ask them to do this, because it helps when we're in a bind or when we feel like we're in trouble with something, we have somebody we can call. And the other thing I had to do when I'm working with my sponsor was I had to make my relationship ideals, which I had never done before, even though I read about it over and over. And by making my relationship ideals, I now have an outline of how I want to act around other people so that I can attract like-minded people. So if I treat people with compassion, I can treat people without judgment, I can treat people lovingly and with care, then those are the people that I am attracting to myself as well. So it kind of goes both ways. And I am so, so grateful for this meeting. I'm so grateful for all the people who have had recovery and who share it. And I am very happy to share my recovery with anyone who calls. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you. Thank you for your service, Kathy.
Thank you, Diane B. Okay, I would like to take some more names. And for those of you who came on late, we are sharing on the paragraphs on page 152, the third paragraph down, and we're sharing on...
Hi, my name's Babylonia. Can I share?
And this is Ronnie in Missouri.
Okay, I got Ronnie. Who was the first person?
Babylonia A.
Babylonia A. Okay.
This is Marissa R. in California. I'd like
Marissa
to share.
Marissa R. Great. Who else? Anyone else want to share?
Candy C. from Illinois.
Candy C. Or is it Cindy? I'm sorry. Which is it?
That's fine. It's Hindi. It's Cindy with an H.
Oh, Hindi. Okay, great. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, well, we have Babylonia A, Ronnie, I didn't get your last initial, Marissa R, and Hindi C. Please share with us, Babylonia.
Everyone, I just joined the Vision for You today officially, even though I've been on the meeting before, because I was in OA Big Book Solutions group, but they didn't have a food plan, so I changed because I kept relapsing, and I thought I needed different sponsorship. So I'm just joining. I'm new, and I need a sponsor. I'm kind of in a place where I'm really, like, withdrawn emotionally from others, and I'm sad all the time. And I just know this program offers promises and hope, and I just want to maintain long-term abstinence and be free from the food. So I'm really hoping with this change where I can be accountable for my food, I can maintain long-term abstinence and not make it about weight gain or weight loss and not make it about body image, but make it about remedying the spiritual disease that I have that is causing me to go to the food. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Babylonia. Please keep coming back. And at the end of today's meeting, people who are available to sponsor will leave their information. Ronnie, please share with us. Ronnie, press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, thank you. I thought I had unmuted and I was talking to myself. Anyway, this is Ronnie B. in Missouri. Thank you for that help. So first of all, here's how I interpret the readings and how I believe they apply to my own life. I need to eat off my own plate. I need to not covet other people's food. I need to know that what other people do is none of my business, because often I do the opposite. And wanting to get better and better at that, I have friends not in this program. And some of them, in my humble, non-humble opinion, don't have a problem. But many more of them do. And that's evident by going out to eat with people and they reach across the table and touch my food, you know, watching the way it gets devoured. And I understand that. I understand that, shoving that stuff in and not eating at a pace that I enjoy. You know, any wonder why years ago they used to say, let's go out and enjoy. And the joy is not just in the food, although it's completely okay to like what I eat, but it's also the company and the surroundings and all of that stuff. So the friends I have that I have a problem with their eating still, and I go out with them, I have to tell myself all the time before I go, just eat off your own plate. It's none of my business what other people eat or drink or how much they spend. None of those things are any of my business. And when I get as simple as that, my own food is completely okay. You know, I'm just going to take 30 seconds and say, I'm in the middle of a very large move. This is all good, except, you know, it's also a change and it's some grief. I've had a week where I've lost one of my dogs. All of that has been a lot to deal with, but, you know, none of that is a stamp of approval to go to those foods that trigger me. None of that. And so there's also a reason why I personally don't have that stuff in my house. I need to focus on my own illness, what works for me, and to stay out of other people's eating, drinking, spending, or whatever that is. So grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me say all that, because I have to remember that I'm also just a little human being trying to maintain my abstinence with everyone else on the list. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie. Would you like to give us your last initial, your initial of your last name?
Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot that. It's B as in boy from Missouri.
Okay, thanks, Ronnie B. Marissa R., please share with us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everyone's service, and thank you, everyone, for being on the line. I'm eternally grateful for God, for this program, for my fellows, and as some of our fellows have been sharing, I cannot believe the transformation in this program. And not just transformation, but, well, no, yeah, I guess it's transformation. But also to see more clearly the work of God in ways that I had never fathomed before. And in truly, in praying, the set-aside prayer, I really see how God has made so many walls crumble and allowed that compassion, and how he does use us as overeaters with each other, and not just with each other, most especially with each other, but it does pour over to all our affairs. It baffles me how something that I thought was my most worst curse has become my most blessed and precious blessing, because through that I have been able to receive
and give compassion and service and however, you know, God would have me serve him and my fellows. And this is something I remember one of my sponsors, because my first sponsor let me go. I consider myself a chronic relapser. And when I, before she was my sponsor and I would talk to her, I would say, how many day ones? You know, I'd be crying and she'd say, Maritza, you don't know how God can make this useful in your recovery or of someone else. And I'm finding more and more that I don't know a lot of things, but I don't know much. But I certainly know, don't know God's designs. And I thank God for the willingness to be more open, to the next best, next best action, the next best thought, the next best word. But thank you so much for allowing me to share. And I'm, again, eternally grateful, compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Maritza R. And Hindi C., please share with us. Press star 1, Hindi, to unmute.
Hi, it's Hindi. I'm sorry. I had a mistake. Press the button on my phone to disconnect me. And we kind of call back on. So hello, everybody. I'm a recovering compulsive eater from Illinois. I am so grateful for this, for the fellowship. I think last night I was just reading in the big book the second preface or forward. I think it's called the forward. The forward for the second edition, and where it describes the you know, the importance of the fellowship for that was going on in Akron, Ohio, and how, you know, the meeting started all together and how important that piece was for recovery. And over the course of my years, sometimes in, sometimes out of OA, and I had really developed some unbelievable relationships several years ago. I think at this point it's around 5.5, 6 years ago. I had gotten to know someone who became, was my sponsor and then became a good friend, even when I had switched sponsors, who I had developed, we had developed a reading partnership where we together had read through a little, like a page a day out of a book about faith and surrender, which in essence, you know, we were doing step 2 and 3 daily, discussing, you know, just letting go and letting our higher power take care of our lives. And it was the most amazing thing for me. I met friends who have nothing to do with, friends through health fellowship, who have nothing to do with, you know, recovery as much as who share similar experiences that have been helpful to me in other ways. I have friends whose children have similar medical issues to a couple of my kids and have been able to guide me in a whole different way, which it just, it was just an amazing thing how one fellowship can encompass so many people from so many different walks of life. I remember even at one point I had really had a need to make an outreach call. I was feeling isolated and I wanted to reach out. I was driving, which tends to leave my mind wandering. And sometimes my thoughts are not so pretty and they're just much more negative than I want them to be. And I wanted to make an outreach call to discover that my phone was dead, my charger was broken. And I was feeling really frustrated. Like, here I wanted to do what I was supposed to do, but clearly my higher power had other plans for me. And then all of a sudden, on the highway, a car pulls up in front of me that says on the license plate, LTGO LTGD, let's go, let's God, with the number 3. And one of my kids from the backseat could not imagine why I was laughing. And until I explained to them, that is step 3. And that person's involvement and identity in the fellowship was something that I needed. And even though this person will never know that that person's license plate was, you know, a hug for me, coming from absolutely nowhere, that person's involvement in the fellowship was, in essence, a friendship to me when I needed it. And I was just feeling so grateful, you know, that person's life, okay. It won't really affect, yeah?
That's
fine.
Good time. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll pass. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Hindi C. And we have time for one more share. Is there anyone who would like to take that? Anyone want to share?
I can share.
Okay, who is this?
Rob H.
Go ahead, Rob.
Thanks. Rob H., upstate New York, compulsive overeater. I guess I needed to be on the meeting today. I was listening, and I was like, why am I on this? I haven't been on the line for a while, but I'm going to meet these new friends. I can definitely say that's true. You know, I've definitely met new friends. And the community now has obviously expanded due to technology. You know, I have people that I talk to all over the country now. Lifelong friends. Yeah, I have been talking to somebody for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, nightly. So that's been really helpful. And it's due to this, you know, basically this book and the 12 steps. I definitely heard the love thy neighbor as thyself. I was doing a little writing this morning, and I just remembered, you know, because in one of our pamphlets, it's, you know, it's the dignity of choice, it says, you know, review our eating history, and I was thinking of some of my eating history was just like not taking care of myself, and you know, and instead going to the food. And what I get out of recovery is putting the food down and help with taking care of problems that I don't have practice taking care of. So I appreciate the fellowship. I appreciate the meeting. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob H. Okay. Well, it's now time to close the meeting. We will start to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. And then we'll say the Serenity Prayer, and then we'll hear from our newcomer greeter and announcements as well. So I'd like to ask Shelley E. to read on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Shelley.
Hi, Kathy. Sorry, 2 seconds. I got muted. Okay. Hi, I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas today. I'm on the Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.